It's May 5th, 2015, and this is Insight Out, The Naked Truth. We're coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, by the way, but the truth always seems to be naked. And I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. Welcome to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation, a few laughs, several spiritual perspectives, and as many surprises as possible.
And I was laughing. There are several spiritual perspectives. I always find that interesting, Rochelle, that we're going to have several spiritual perspectives, well, not just one or two or three.
Several.
We'll have enough.
Three is several.
That's true. We'll have enough so we can contradict each other. Anyway, but our time tonight is sponsored by Go Raw, 100% raw food that not only tastes good, but so good for you.
And Go Raw can be found at Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and the organic section of Costco. But go to GoRaw.com to find out where Go Raw can be found in your neighborhood. And if you want to join us tonight, our number is 888-627-6008.
Yes, and especially we'd appreciate it if you've got a question that will challenge us and help us to grow. But before we actually begin, I've got a musical question for everybody.
Ho, ho, ho.
That's from the movie Leap of Faith. And tonight's subject is, you ready?
Yet.
Yet. You ready yet?
Yet?
I didn't know it was you ready yet. I thought it was you ready, because readiness is like so basic. Like, are you ready for the next step, the next moment, the next opportunity, the next surprise?
Or just to get going.
Right.
Are you ready to get going?
Get going and readiness. So, Rochelle, do you have some thoughts about that you'd like to kick off with?
Oh, yeah. There are certain people in my life, like you, for instance.
Uh-huh.
When I say, are you ready? You go, yeah, I'm there. Okay, I'm ready. And then I wait 20 minutes. And that's when you say, are you ready yet? Because the yet is an exasperation or frustration of the fact that we haven't left yet.
I see.
Are you ready yet? Have we left yet? Are we there yet? So there's this wonderful thing, and I was commiserating with my daughter-in-law, who I adore and who is the mother of my grandchild. And we were talking about how her need to be on time is sometimes exasperated by my son's, you know, we'll get there, don't worry about it. And I think, my God, the acorn does not fall far from the tree.
It really doesn't, does it?
And I'm like her. I like to get to an airport like with a half hour to spend in the lounge before you get on the plane, so that you can sit and read, you know, look at the magazines or something, but you're not rushing. I hate to rush. Some people, adrenaline, they get charged when they're rushing. They love it. They love to rush. That's their thing. And I'm beginning to understand that. And it's the same thing with, are we ready for a change in consciousness? Are we ready for a change in location? Are we ready for a change in understanding? Because if you're not ready, it's not going to happen till you're ready. You're not going to leave till you're ready. You're not going to do anything till you're ready. So the readiness is probably the most important instigator of change.
Ooh, the most important instigator. Well, what does it take to get ready? Can you move it along through conscious effort? Or is it something that just kind of happens on its own?
Well, I think both. It does happen on its own, whether you move it along or not. It will happen on its own. It just happens a little slower. and the ready yet, the yet part, quickens it.
It does.
It's a quickener.
Well, here's a kind of an interesting description of readiness. And this comes from none other than Yeshua himself, to most folks known as Jesus, from his talks that he gave recently. And the context was the subject of motion. He talks at great length in the book, Keys of Yeshua, about motion and the nature of fundamental motion and universe motion. And he talks about the four things you need to do to kind of get with that motion. And one of them is readiness. And he says this about it. Readiness means to be mindful of your resources and ready to use your abilities. You are in possession of your experience and willing to put it into further service. It may also require more education or other skills than those you already possess. A readiness may require nurturing or improving health, just as you would make an automobile ready for a journey. Readiness is dynamic anticipation. It studies and seeks to recognize the larger movements of change. To cultivate readiness, release all worry, apathy, and any state of mind that would undermine your alertness or prevent you from responding to a new invitation.
I love responding to a new invitation.
So, in a way, our show is an invitation to you, O ye listener. It's an invitation to perhaps reconsider your point of view, the conclusions you may have drawn about, for example, what you think are limitations that you have to accept, live by, or actually die by, and to open up the possibility that there really are not those imposed limitations, that they're more a function of our ignorance and, in a kind of ironically perverse sort of way, our need to be in control. Because even if our control is about bringing about our demise by imposing artificial limitations, still we're in control of it. Whereas to abandon yourself to the motion of patterns and the movements of reality as they continue to show up in interaction of one kind or another, exchanges of one kind or another, spinning, by the way, then you are part of that dynamic, but you can't really control it. And this is where the faith comes in. I've been thinking more about that. The faith operates on the assumption that what's there is basically supportive and in your corner, so to speak. What's fundamentally out there, no matter what you choose, is there to support you. I'll just say one more thing about this. A person might ask, well, what do you base that faith on? You look at life and you see nothing but trials and tribulations and cruelty and unfairness. I shouldn't say nothing, but you see so much of it that you necessarily ask the question, well, where's that positive ground that we can walk upon and trust in? And how would I find it? And who says so? This is where I believe having a guide is so helpful, someone who's actually been through that transformation. And as I say in my poem on trust, which I think we read a couple of weeks ago, comes out right side up on the other side of annihilation. And for me, I believe that Yeshua, the incarnation, is significant in that it appears that someone has shown up right side up on the other side of annihilation, lived to tell about it, so to speak, and is saying, come on, get ready.
Well, that's all well and good, but you know, there are so many different versions of
I love that.
Of your Yeshua.
Here we go.
You know, that what he says and what he doesn't say, and this version says this, and that version by some people is the only version that can tell you what he said, and you're reading another version that's a different version from that version. So I really believe that when you're ready to hear the truth, you hear the truth, and you hear your truth, and you find something that speaks to you, and what speaks to you moves you forward. And that's the guide. It's when you're ready for it. I think in the Buddhist tradition, they say when you're ready, the teacher shows up. And I believe that that's true. So whatever the teacher is, whether it's a life experience or the writings of wisdom purported to be by a certain person or not, you get that, what moves you forward. But you have to be ready for that. And I think if you're not ready, it doesn't show up. A different thing shows up.
But you can help get yourself ready. That's the whole point.
How can you help yourself get ready if you're not ready to help yourself?
Because like he said, there are certain external kind of choices that you can make that accelerate your readiness, and it's your part of contributing to the readiness. You're not just dependent upon this thing, the readiness, that when it's ready for you to be ready, it'll go, okay, you're ready.
But we walk when we walk. We've been programmed to be bipeds.
I understand.
And if nothing gets in the way of that, we will become bipeds, right? So it seems to me the only thing that helps readiness for the next step is make sure nothing gets in the way of it.
Here's a couple of things that I just read that I think were very instructive. It's what he had to say about things you can do, like to cultivate readiness, release all worry. That's a specific thing, to release all worry as a way of getting ready.
I think I might be ready for that in about a year or two.
Right. We'll call you and let you know. So what does it take to release that worry? If you imagine all the worrying that's going on, like right now, all over the planet and the world, people are worrying about what's coming or what's not coming. Will they eat
or will they have the money to pay their rent, or will they have the money to buy a car, or will they have a woman in their life or a man in their life? Will their child be able to go to college, or whatever the worries are? It doesn't matter.
That's right. And so here's something that's really dramatic, a dramatic statement about a possibility: release all worry. So then we might ask the question, when are we ready to release all worry? What does it take to get to that point? Well, it certainly takes a certain level of intention. Like he says, release apathy. Can't just like be apathetic and expect to make any progress. And don't be in a state of mind that would undermine your alertness or prevent you from responding to that new invitation. So there is an alertness. We can cultivate that. We can cultivate the practice of not worrying.
You can cultivate it if you're ready to cultivate it.
Okay, I think we can put this one to bed. I feel like Rochelle and I get into this kind of thing. She loves dosing. She said that the other day. We were watching something that reminded you of
dosing. We were on the highway and cars were going dosy-doing to get to a certain lane.
Is it dosy-doing or dosy-dosing?
Oh, I don't know.
We'd have to find.
Either is fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And it's just part of our process that we can keep coming at something from another perspective.
But I think the most important thing for me is that I have experienced certain things that show up in my life, and they do seem to show up in my life when I'm ready for them. Now, I have to say that I'm a small percentage of the population in the sense that since I'm 11 years old, I have been searching for or wanting to know what the bigger picture was, the greater thing was, what I called God. At that point, you know, I wanted to know God. I wanted to know who I was with God. These were realities for me in terms of my own search. Now, the people I went to school with and the girlfriends I had at 11, they didn't think anything about that. In fact, when I'd mentioned those things, they looked at me like I'd fallen out of a tree. Oh, don't be so heavy, you know, don't be so intense. Those are heavy thoughts to them. Their readiness was they were ready to grow and be prepubescent and find the right clothes and find out who to hang with and all that. And so is that something that you learn, or is that something that you just come into this life, you know, with a certain readiness to follow that path?
Think about that. That's a good question. Before I play this song that I think is going to help us just really get even more ready, I have an image of those, you know, those trucks, places where trucks stop to get weighed.
Mm-hmm.
So what if people are coming in and the guy at the place says, okay, put your thoughts on our scale and we're going to weigh them if you're having some heavy thoughts, because if you have heavy thoughts, I'm not sure we can let you go through because you may tilt the earth toward the heavy. It might get heavier. People have a harder time taking off. But I know that sounds ridiculous, but let's just take off anyway, shall we?
Today I take my own advice and make the most of it. Too many times my choices have been guided by my fears. Into the dark and unknown water I will sink or swim like a blade of grass.
I'm going to come back to that song in just a minute.
That would be wonderful, but that one line, my choices have been guided by fear. Now that
right.
is something you're going to be ready for an expansion of consciousness. You have to become aware that your choices are guided by fear in order to let go of it. And what does that mean? You know, I'm surrounded by people all the time whose choices are guided by fear. And I catch myself making choices that are guided by fear. And what does that mean? I mean, talk about, are we ready to let go of fear? Are we ready to let go of our fears? I do believe that our fears, in many ways, keep us safe. We think they do anyway. So you can play that song, but I just needed to say that.
That's good. I will play that song. The computer sometimes takes over. It just says, you know, we're going to do this now.
Are we ready yet and to I'm going, not have a computer take
yeah,
over?
Yeah,
no way.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that computer to do that. But the computer says, well, it doesn't matter whether you think you're ready or not.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to do it. So if I see this kind of like as an invitation, like here's a moment, like this program has come up and it's decided to update right now. And here I am. The impulse is to kind of get frustrated, and you're all listening, and I want to do this song, and Rochelle's batting her eyes at me, and that's always distracting. Then,
oh, in what way have I distracted you? I'm so happy to distract you.
Well, that's why we're a listening show and not a visual show. Anyway, it's like it creates this emptiness, which is where your expectation broke down.
Right.
Now there is an emptiness there, and you can try and hold on to what the expectation was wanting to happen, but since none of it exists anymore, or you can drop into that emptiness and see what wants to show up. So that's what I did. But now, having done that, I'm returning to the song. That's Are You Ready? And that would be Distant Cousins. The video where I found this is fabulous because it's got these guys jumping off of cliffs or volcanoes that have those kind of flying suits on, and they're flying, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's great to watch them. Are you ready? The thing about the fears, this is where becoming conscious and putting out some effort toward becoming ready. You know, I think it's a chicken or the egg, and today I'll take the egg. I think it's the egg that started the chicken.
Yeah, the egg that started the chicken.
Yeah,
huh?
Today.
How'd the egg get there?
Well, let me explain that. See, a lot of people don't understand that, but the egg got there because...
It was ready.
It was a ready egg. How many times in your life, listener, have you said, are my eggs ready? It's sort of like that.
It's sort of like, yeah. I think there are certain things that, because they belong to the infinite, our minds cannot grasp them at this point. Because we ask questions that the answers belong to the infinite. And so we're not ready to get those answers because in many ways, they're too much. They're too big. They're too big for our little tiny minds to encompass them. So therefore, we're not ready. And as our minds grow, I don't know if they ever will, but maybe they will. In terms of evolution, they certainly will. But in terms of my particular mind growing, it'd have to be many, many
infinitesimal
moments. Yes. To get
I
to
won
this
an
place.
Award for being able to say that in fourth grade.
No.
Well.
You made that up.
Yeah, I did. But I did win the seventh grade spelling bee contest. Yes. On the word independence. And I still remember how to spell it. I-N-D-I-P-N-D-E-N-C.
You just made that up, too.
Or did she win on... No, one of us won, one of us lost.
I won a spelling bee, but in-class spelling bee wasn't...
Yeah, that's what this was.
Can't remember the word I won it on, but I did win it.
That reminds me of an incident that happened in college that I think is worth sharing. It'll go in my memoirs, my college life early on. No, I think it was a freshman. Everybody had to take a public speaking class, mm-hmm. like all the freshmen. Mm-hmm. And so there were several hundred, quite a few number of classes. And at the end of the term, they had a contest of all of us. And I was one of the five finalists. What was interesting was at the time, I was very much a rebel. Things haven't changed much. And I was rebelling against the universities taking the position of what I called in loco parentis, in place of the parents, being in control. Mm-hmm. And I gave a talk against that. A couple interesting things came out of that. One is Dr. McCready, who was the teacher. She was really a super teacher. I took a later course from her in oral and terp. Dr. McCready came up to me and she said, you know, you have a lot of power. You should be more careful about what you talk about.
I've been trying to tell you that for years.
But wait, I'm not, wait, because what she didn't realize and what people didn't realize, I did not win, by the way, was that the reason I wanted to not have the parents in loco was...
Because they were crazy.
Well, that too. We'll get to that in just a minute as soon as we're ready. We're not ready for that.
Okay.
Okay, now we're finishing it. Because by them having this control over where you lived, there had to be a chaperone. And if there was a chaperone, it made it that much more difficult to bring a girl into your bedroom and get laid.
Of course. They didn't want you to get laid because you have babies when you
I
get
just
laid.
Want you to see the height of my motivation, the level of consciousness that I was already operating
Nothing's
under.
Nothing's changed.
But I did not mention that in my speech, I don't think.
Oh. You might have won if you had.
I might have won if I had. And I had to make another speech some years later when I was being reinstated after having been kicked out of the college. Mm-hmm. And I had to go before the board.
Because you were loco and didn't want to listen to the parents.
Yeah, I actually, because, curiously enough, I was living in unapproved housing.
See?
And so it came back around on me. They threw my ass out of school. They really did. Not just one college, two colleges.
But it's a good thing they threw the rest of you out, too, because you'd been walking around without an ass for a really long time otherwise.
That is so silly. That's like something I would say. That's how silly it is. Are you ready to admit that this is Inside Out, the Naked Truth?
I am ready.
You are ready.
I'm ready to admit that.
And I think it's good to remind ourselves why we do this show. Rochelle, you said you do it because it's the only time we have a chance to actually talk to each other. Or worse, to that effect.
I have said that. Yeah. Well, have this kind of conversation that just flows back and forth.
But our hope, or I should speak for myself.
Please.
My hope is that as you listen to this exploration and hopefully find some of the humor in us as we do and let the music kind of inveigle its way into your being so that you could feel the expansion that music gives. And of course, I'm very aware of the lyrics, so I think it's good to be able to listen to these songs because sometimes we don't like the lyric of that song. He says, today I take my own advice and make the most of it. Too many times my choices have been guided by my fears.
I know. I love that line.
Into the dark and unknown water I will sink or swim like a blade of grass reaching for the sun. I'm ready to begin. Keep on climbing against the wind. Tonight the sky is calling. Are you ready? Are you ready?
I am. I've been a person who's been sort of what I'd call a nester by disposition. And yet change has been the most wonderful thing in my life. To move into the unknown and allow myself to experience things that I would not have thought to experience had I thought about it. Where I just find myself in positions that cause me to change. I'm so grateful looking back at that right now. And all I can say is I must have been ready or they couldn't have happened. But I couldn't have made those choices because the choices were scary. But I was ready.
Not just ready, you were the woman ready. You were a woman who stepped up to it.
I'm so glad you noticed.
And this is a tribute to you.
Yeah.
You're a woman. And you're probably wondering why I picked that song, because we're dealing with the subject of Reddy. And that was Helen Reddy.
Oh, God, help me.
And when she said she'd be willing to come over tonight and speak about woman, and you described your woman realization, it reminds me of a line from the Arantia book where it says, "The hand that rocks the cradle fraternizes with eternity," or something like that.
Maybe it's true. Because a woman's body, there's a readiness for certain things. The menses that happens to a young woman, you know, getting her ready to bear children. And then when that period of time is over, she's getting ready to move into her maturity by no longer having that.
Right.
And then she's guided by something much greater, because before she's guided by the earth, the moons, the tides. And when that's finished, she's guided by something higher, woman, if she chooses to see that, if she's ready to see that.
Right.
Then it becomes an incredible experience, because you're just a little bit above the earth.
How much above it? Like an inch?
No, even more than that. More than an inch.
Well, how much?
About 3 6/10 of an inch.
This is your pilot. We're flying at 3 6/10 of an inch above the earth. We'll be cruising at a speed of about 12.5 miles per hour, because we want you to take advantage of the view. From this altitude, you're able to see things from an entirely two different perspective. Notice how human beings, for example, all seem a little shorter. Yes, it may not be powerful, but it might be subtle. But nevertheless, you're a little taller. See, you feel taller, you walk taller, and let's face it, right or wrong, in this culture, tall is good. So, from this altitude, we hope you'll just sit back, be sure you're wearing your seatbelt, and your seatbelts, you notice that we provided, are these gold lame, beautiful cowboy-studded picture of a bullhorn belt, and anyone that wants them can have one. And just go to our shop down in Waco, Texas, where our customers are always the first on our list and the very second on the ride. Well, thank you. We're so glad we have this silliness.
Every now and then, when I get totally enmeshed in the chaos of the world by the people I'm surrounded by sometimes, I really make a conscious choice to rise above it, in the sense that you are flying in a plane, and you're flying in a plane over like a forest. And it looks just beautiful. It's this carpet of green. You know, you're not in the middle of it with the bugs and the animals. And the things and the vines and all.
Yeah,
sorts
think
of
it, even that little inch and a half gets you above the ants. You know, you're,
that's right.
You're not at the mercy of those ants, because there's some crawling around here.
Oh yeah,
and they're big.
So when you get above it, that's what I mean. And I think you're ready to get above it when you have embraced the below it with true acceptance.
Okay, now what Yeshua says, and this ties right into that, is, and this is not just him saying, this is a common, I think, hopeful understanding by many of us, that is, you can't solve a problem from the level of the problem. You have to get above the problem. You mm-hmm. have to be inclusive of the problem mm-hmm. rather than resist it, because it doesn't really get any better if you just resist it. But when you engage it, it's like that moment when we had this experience years ago with the cars. That's a story we'll tell you one day, or for those of you who know us and know the car story, car scam thing, sucked in, stupid idiot us.
Naive bumpkin.
Naive bumpkin. But there was a certain point in it when I had these, I'm not going to tell you the whole story now, but I can tell you enough, $115,000, more than that, $185,000 invested in these cars. How we get there, that's another, we'll go back 6 months earlier in the movie.
Such a detour. I can't even.
But wait, because I'm going to ask you, what was the readiness in all of this? What was ready? And why did it happen? And I was driving two of these cars with another guy. We were bringing them back home. I had to deal with them. And I was pulled into this service station. And these were expensive cars, and they demanded really good gas. As a matter of fact, the gas that they demanded wasn't even in the pumps. The owner had it in back, and he brought it out. And you don't think that was expensive with that kind of gas, hand carried by the owner? Okay, so there I was, and this is the scene. It's Las Vegas. I've been in a, going up in the heat in this car, and it's hot, and I've got this burden of having done this stupid thing that got me into this position, and the pressure, the financial pressure potential of it was so extreme, I won't even get into that. As I was watching the gas meters go up on the two tanks of the two cars, which were being filled with the supreme premium, I realized, you know, my stress about this is just fear. I don't have to do the fear and just see it as a problem to solve. In that moment, I felt that that was really a significant breakthrough for me. But I felt that it couldn't have happened if I wasn't prepared, readied, by the circumstances which forced me into that fear. Just one after another after another. So many things happen. That's why it's going to be a great movie. But we'll come back to that. So my question was, what was the readiness? You know, and how did the universe conspire to get me ready? What was my part in getting me ready? Any ideas?
I do believe, and I have to reiterate, that until we're ready for something, it's not going to happen. And I think that the readiness also has to do with getting ready. Be ready to get ready. And then you have to be ready to get ready to get ready.
Well, let's get ready.
And then you're ready.
Okay, people, come on. Let's get ready. It's time.
People get ready. There's a train coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord, yeah, yeah, yeah. People get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers from coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the doors and board them. There's room for all of the love and all the yeah.
So people get ready. People get ready. I just want to stop and ask you, listener, are you feel any kind of readiness or ripening?
Who's saying this, people get ready?
Well, that was our Eva Cassidy.
What are you ready for, Errol?
I'm ready to have you experiencing from a different voice.
Ready, there's a train coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. So people get ready, there's a train to Jordan, picking up passengers from coast to coast. Faith is the key, open up the doors and boredom. There's hope for all among those who love the most. Oh, there
Seal.
Seal?
Seal. Not my mother, C-E-L-E.
No, no,
wasn't my mother.
I know who he is.
Now, how did you experience those two different versions?
Well, it's interesting. It was much easier to hear the words when he sang it. The words were much clearer. They were like more enunciated, and yet the song was more melodious and more deeply felt when she was singing it.
Well, the recording circumstances were radically different. She was singing it, I think, live. His was one of those films they make of songs. High professional, very much more money-ripened readiness went into that version.
Money-ripened readiness. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a readiness, that's for sure.
Yeah, money-ripened. It's like, I'm ready already. You ever say that, you know, or I'd like to think I'm ready. I've stopped saying I'm ready when I want things from God.
Yeah, because you have no idea.
Right. So what I say now is, I'm eager. And that feels more congruent.
It definitely is more congruent.
Yeah, I can feel eager because I feel like the part of me that still wants something at all is like a teenager, early on level of teenager.
Oh, I'd have to agree.
Boy, did I walk into that one? Oh, my God. Harry!
But you
Harry.
Know, like, when I look at our granddaughter, who's 2 months old, and we have this little video of her mom is saying words or sounds. And the face of our granddaughter is looking at her mother and hearing the sound, obviously, and then moving her mouth and making a sound. Is she getting ready to do what is pretty natural to a child? But it's early, but she must be ready because she's doing it. There is the helper, is the mother who's initiating, this is the sound you can make now. If she wasn't ready, she would just not do anything. But the fact that the mother was giving her encouragement by making the sounds and allowed her readiness to come through.
And then she texted the sounds to the baby.
Oh, not exactly.
We asked my uncle Moshe, who's a rabbi, to come over to look at the baby and give his evaluation of her. So, Rabbi, come on in. And what was it like, Rabbi, seeing Ella for the first time? Well, to be honest, it was like I was like a new, brand new child again. And to be honest, it was like a mechaya. You know what I'm talking? Mechaya. Mechaya is like a Yiddish term. It means mechaya. You know what I mean? Anyway, it's like Machai is a way of trying to describe the feeling in your heart when it wants to kind of burst out of itself and spread its juices to everybody, and everybody spread their hot juices to it, and you're all like juicing up each other and having a good time. That's
juicy,
like a mitzvah.
For sure.
People don't realize it's a juicy thing, a mitzvah. So next time you're having a juicy good time, know that it's a mitzvah.
But you use the word Machai.
It's a mechaya, the first part, but the mitzvah is like a bar mitzvah. It's like a blessing. It's like it, two parts. There's the mechaya, and there's the mitzvah. And they're like, one is like, oi, oi, you want to jump up and down. The other is like a blessing. It's like, oh, it's a mitzvah. It's like this mysterious thing happens. Like a child, when they has a 13 years old, has a bar mitzvah. A girl has a bat mitzvah. It's like that's the time they start entering into being consciously ready for an encounter with the divine.
Oh, I like that. That it's a celebration of readiness for an encounter with the divine.
Thank you.
There's something in our busy, busy world, we don't have these demarcations, celebratory demarcations, like we get married. That's a celebratory demarcation, you know. But along the way, and the churches, they have communion. And so that's a demarcation. If we get these things with young children who are of Jewish faith and they have bar mitzvahs and bas mitzvahs, that's a demarcation. These kinds of things that celebrate certain periods in your life when you're ready to move forward. And the celebration says you're ready to move forward. You're ready to move beyond this point into a new consciousness.
It's that spiraling of life as you come around the spiral, and it's like quanta. The notion of quanta, as I understand it, layman that I am, is that something is here and then it's there, and no time elapsed, or it's the capacity of things to switch places arbitrarily. What would you say? That's miraculous. So the question I want to throw out to you all who are listening with us, who are here with us right now, in this moment of deep repose, as we pause to say goodbye to he or she who was our ego, and to let them go the way of all egos into eternal oblivion. No, 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 you don't have to go with it. No, 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 no. Come this way, yes, this way into eternal, ever-expanding awareness.
The nice thing about ever-expanding awareness is that whether you're ready or not, here we come.
It really is true.
You remember that thing we used to play?
What
ready or not, here I come.
Oh, wow. Ready or not.
Here we come.
I love that. I found a song called Rough and Ready, but it was about some cowboy riding down the road with his guitar in his hand and the guns in the back of his place and rough and ready, and he was going to drink some beer, and he was rough and ready. And yeah, I like it. But, you know, I want to kind of frame readiness a little different. But that's good. You know, he was ready. He had all the parts.
You can be ready for lots of things. I have this picture of a young man combing his hair into, like in the 50s, you know, in a pompadour kind of thing, and putting on a shirt, getting ready to go out and have a good time. And a young woman, you know, putting on a pretty dress, getting ready to go out and have a good time. And these two people go out together and they meet. They meet together and they go out together because they're ready to have a good time. And I think that readiness precedes actuality.
Exactly, which is why he emphasizes it so much in this teaching. Perhaps we can come to the other three aspects of this thing about motion, because change is upon it. And I think what he's suggesting here is the importance of understanding motion as distinct from change. And I think it's important to get in that, because certainly you have some kind of readiness for something if you're at a place where you want something to change. And then you're really ready when you're ready to take action. I even had to use the word again. See how it snuck in there? Are you ready to take action to bring about that change? Change in the past has often been a revolution. Things just revolve right back to where they were. Sometimes we've gotten better. America, I think the jury is still out on how successful America's revolution, if it's going to truly end up being an evolution or a revolution. But as I said, the jury is still out on that.
But they were sequestered.
Who they?
The jury.
They were sequestered. And
we won't have them, so we'll never
but
know.
But that doesn't mean they're not hungry, by the way. See, people don't always think about that. Would you serve on the jury? Usually, you don't hear this question. What time do we eat, judge?
When you're on a jury, you do hear it, though. You really do. Because you're very aware that it's lunchtime.
No, I'm talking about the guys being interviewed by the lawyer and the judge to be on the jury.
Uh-oh.
He's in the courtroom, and the guy says, are you willing to be on the jury? Or he says, are you prejudiced against people who do traffic accidents, walk away from the crime? And his answer is, when do we eat?
Only you would think of that. I don't think you were ready to think anything different.
Really? So here's the point, though, that I think is really important to consider. Where is choice involved in that? I don't think you mean this, but when I hear you share your point of view, and we can't spend a lot more time on it because we have to go and we're not ready yet to go, is to what degree do we have choice in this process? Because from what you suggest to me, and I'd be very interested how you all who are listening feel about this, please let us know. Send us an email at eastrider@gmail.com. To what degree do we have possibility and choice, and to what degree are we just at the whim of fate and destiny?
Are you asking me that question?
Well, okay.
Because I don't believe we're at the whim of fate and destiny. Now, it's not a whim, because readiness is something that is taking place. It's taking place just the way the soil is taking place to allow the seed that's in it to become a flower. There's this sense of it's not fate, it's what is.
Somebody plants the flower. That's the choice. You plant the seed.
Or the seed falls from the tree.
But you plant the seed. If you want organized flowers, you plant the seed.
If you want organized flowers, right? Yeah. I think you have to be ready to plant the seeds.
But you have to agree that a seed and what it becomes is absolutely miraculous. So that's why I want to go back to the question I started the evening with. That was Leanne Rimes singing Are You Ready for a Miracle? The first one was from the movie Leap of Faith. So a leap of faith is like taking that jump with the trust that you're going to land on something that will hold you. Think of Harrison Ford in the movie of the Raiders of the Lost Ark, number 2 or 3, where he steps out on the ledge that looks like it'd be a hole down there all the way to his death, and is surprised to find there is a ledge there that he can walk across that blended in so in the rocks that he didn't really know. And on that, we need to kind of wrap it up here. Are you ready? This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. We're sponsored by Go Raw. Thank you very much.
And I remind you.
Whoa, wait a minute. You want to remind us of something. Okay, what is it?
Resistance is what you add to fear to make it last longer and hurt more.
Or resistance is what you add.
No, we're talking about fear tonight, yeah. So I decided to make it fear.
Pain. Okay, got it. See you soon. Thank you. Thanks
tonight,
for being with
this
us.
Is our show.
Hi, thank you. Oh, okay, great. Great, thank you. I appreciate your doing that. Yeah. Good. Yeah, just send them. All right. Great. Like tonight. Thank you.
You too.
Thank you. Thanks.
Enjoy the spring.
Yes. All of us. Thank you. Absolutely. This is the fun. We are the fun having itself.
We are the fun having itself.
All right. Bye.